it's time for Word on the Street. Soccer Sam welcomes the biggest names in Rochester sports, politics, media, and community to talk one-on-one. This is not your average interview show. Sam goes way beyond, some might say over the line, to get the inside dirt. Be a part of the show. Call or text 222-1280. Now live from the Fox Sports 1280 studios in downtown Rochester, this is Word on the Street. Here's Soccer Sam.
Thank you, Richie. This is Soccer Sam Pantuza here live in the Fox Sports 1280 studios in beautiful downtown Rochester, New York. It's the word on the street on what's going on in Rochester, New York, the city I love, the city I was born and raised in. And if you go to a sporting event here in Rochester, New York, or you've gone to a sporting event in the past, there's this voice you'll recognize right now. His real name is Ralph Parada, but we call him Rocky Parada. He is the Rock. Oh, yes.
That's my friend Rich in there.
He's the original Rocky. Rocky Parada, welcome to Word on the Street.
Thank you, Sam. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. This is a great hour that you do on Saturday afternoons. It's the afternoon now, and you cover a lot of great topics, and I have no idea how I got on your agenda.
Well, I like things that make me wonder, like, how did this happen? How does a guy like you, who is this big-time banker guy, I mean, you take care of people with lots of money. You take care, you direct them, you guide them, you're their guy. You're their customer service guy for people with lots of money, right?
Yeah, I try.
So you're with, who are you with right now, with company?
I'm with a financial institution that's based here in downtown Rochester in the taller white building. We'll put it that way.
Okay, so you can't say who it is.
Yeah, they probably I'd end up in a code of conduct discussion on Monday morning.
Okay, so
it's a large financial institution downtown Rochester.
So that's your thing, your career. You go to school, you get into banking, all that. How does this whole you announcing teams happen? What was the first game you ever did for what team? How does it happen? How does a guy like you just become this the most famous announcer in town?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. My goal when I went to college, and I did 2 years of college at MCC, highly endorse getting 4 years of college. My goal when I was a kid, when I was like Santino's age, or I wanted to be a play-by-play guy. Decided, radio was my thing. Holy cow, maybe meteorology should be. Look at it outside, my goodness. But decided, I wanted to get into radio. So I did local DJing back in the mid to late 80s.
Did you have a DJ name back then? Everybody had picked their names.
You know, when I started out doing DJing, most people won't believe this, but I started out doing easy listening at Wish 95.
Easy listening.
Exactly.
You are in your pajamas right now.
It was the kind of music that I would listen to if I couldn't sleep, and I didn't want to tell the PD that who hired me. and the ironic thing was I got hired by my dad running into the PD who had a booth set up at Longridge Mall a long, long time ago. Told him, hey, yeah, my kid wants to get into radio, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, have him send me a tape. So I sent him a tape, and I got a job like the next day, but I was doing easy listening. So I did easy listening for a while, and they jokingly,
Let me hear, like, what you would say, like, if you had to introduce a song, how did you do it on easy listening?
How would we do it?
Because it's different. It's different than today's radio back,
Yeah, you're listening to a little bit of America here, brought to you by the Boston Custom Library, because it was all easy listening.
Right.
On Wish 95.
I just almost fell asleep.
My PD, because I'm in there, and I'm 21 years old, and I've got hair down to my shoulders, and they nicknamed me Rocking Chair Ralph. That was my nickname. Not on the air, but... so when I went on to... graduated from easy listening into... I did classic rock at Rocket 95. I felt that I had an opportunity to get out and do more club nights and stuff like that. Going out, not so much as Ralph, but going out with a different name. I didn't want to do anything with my last name.
Right.
Obviously. So I took Rocky, and I initially billed myself as the only Rochester radio DJ named after his mother. Because my mother's name is Raquela, and everybody called her Rock or Rocky. So I took my mother's name and went about that. And
that's cool.
We're looking 25, 26 later. Here I am.
So you're doing clubs at the time, like yeah. What's like 2001, the other one that people talk about, like an airplane.
Yeah, 747 Diamonds, which was at one time the Playpen, or even the VI, which I think the Playpen might have been your era. Where Diamonds was mine, the VI
is that
was...
on Scottsville Road?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I remember the Playpen.
I did.
Hey, Richie. Easy.
I did Friday Bambi. Nights from there with Rocket 95. We did a live program. There was Freeform. No format. We took breaks. We did some liner reads. If I was reading about another nightclub, I had to go stand outside by the dumpster and read the reads out there. And I've got stories, and Rich is laughing in there, but I've got stories that I could tell about the times when I was outside reading by the dumpsters and the people that I would run into, but I can't tell them on the air right now. But I did that 5 hours freeform, no format, from 1993 until 1995 when the radio station went off the air. And that's how I think I really got honed into what I do now. You can ask anybody that I do PA announcing for, especially our friend Jordan Steffen. You can ask her that I do not stick to the script. I'm one that goes off script and go free form and freelancing. But I think that's what got me rolling into it. And I did radio until about 97 when the sports team opportunities really started to come around. The initial one came around in 92. I met Chris Palin, who was the director of marketing for the Rochester Americans. I met him at Park Ave, and I was a season ticket holder at that time.
Of the Amherst.
With the Amherst. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I see you at a lot of games. I didn't realize you work for a radio station. You know, maybe we could do some stuff over the winter. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, no problem. Here's my number. He called me up like in January and said, we've got this new thing we're going to be doing during the intermissions. It was the first federal high school hockey shootout when they brought in a handful of guys who were forwards or defensemen. They brought in a goalie, and these guys took penalty shots on them during the intermission. And the best goalie throughout the series, blah, 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 would come and play in the finals. And I think, if memory serves me right, Brian Gianta may have been one of the kids coming through with Aquinas. Marty Reasoner may have come through that too. I'd really, really have to do some homework, but I think
stars of today.
Right, today and yesterday.
Yeah.
If you think about it, 1993 was a long time ago.
Sure.
But that's where I got the start with sports, and then
so you were like on the ice,
correct.
On the ice, like an announcer on the ice, and introducing who these kids are. They're going to take shots and that kind of thing.
Exactly, and then when the intermission was over, I go back and sit in my seats, and then Chris decided that let's augment the regular PA announcer with a guy who does the commercials. We'll take the commercials away from him, and you can do that. And then it turned into doing game night music, morphed when Steve Donner brought the Nighthawks on. It morphed into doing work with them. Then obviously when the Rhinos came on with Steve, the Rattlers, Steve moved around his staff. It wasn't like bringing different people in. He was moving his staff into different spots. And that's how the multiple teams came into play. Behind the mic with the Rattlers every season but the very first, I was kind of typecasted into music.
Until, so you're the music guy.
I was the music guy. And when more voice opportunities came up, that's when Phil Mercado came in. And now Philly Steak Mercado, many, many years with the Sabres, with the Bills now. And if they ever brought the Olympics to this neck of the woods, I'm sure Phil would be the guy that they would be looking at to entertain during their events. But
so let me get a visual here. So now you're kind of doing the music, and you're going to go to break, you play the music, or the puck goes... The ice gets dead, or whatever you call it in hockey.
Yep. Play stops.
So you start playing music.
Yep.
How do you like slide into the mic scene, other than the halftime stuff?
Well, it's the multitasking, as you know, in your business, people do more than one thing. I would be doing the music and the commercial PA at the same time. The first there was an opportunity. Tom George was the PA announcer at the time for the Rochester Americans. He was sick. Called in at kind of last minute, couldn't do, just could not do the game, sent me down. I did PA, and
So that was your first official PA job.
My first official PA job. It was the Adirondack Red Wings and the Rochester Americans in the old configuration. This had to have been 93, probably. So that was my first first game. Amherst won. There was a big brawl at the end of the game. It was pretty cool.
But no prep work because you were just last minute.
Exactly. Thank goodness I had a shirt and tie on. Which I always wore to hockey, but so that was the first PA gig, and as I said, it was part of the whole Steve Donner empire that got me tied in with the other teams that were under his umbrella, and as we've gone on through the years, it's morphed into opening the microphone, which has been a godsend and a gift, opening a microphone for every professional team in Rochester. And doing three or four games filling in for the Buffalo Sabres.
Wow. I want to talk more about that when we come back to break. I want to find out. So we know your first ever Amherst gig, 93, Tom George gets sick, you get in. I want to find out, when did you get your first big gig doing this, and how do you juggle it from your real job, family life, and all that, making it happen? Because it's nights. It's weekend nights. It's a lot of work. A lot of people don't know that, but these sporting events, it's weekend nights. They're long hours. And you figured out how to do it, right? You figured out time.
You have to have, and we'll talk about that, you have to have somebody who's really, really understanding as your wing woman. We'll put it that way.
He is Rocky Parada. He is the voice of Rochester sports. You just heard it. 93 got his first gig doing the Amherst. Got a little sniff of being behind the mic. And then we're going to talk about some of the greatest games he's ever covered in his history. He's been to them all. He is the Rock. Be that here. A word on the street.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Macy's has everything you need to make this your best year ever. From the dorm room to the classroom, get set to shine in cutting-edge streetwear, on-the-go active looks, the flirtiest dresses, denim for days, and so much more. Plus, you'll find the chic essentials to turn your room into a hangout hotspot. Macy's makes it easy to win this fashion season with cool styles and major savings. Shop all the hottest back-to-school looks now and make this your best year ever at Macy's.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
That's right, he is the Rock. He is Rocky Parada. This is the word on the street, talking about what happens in beautiful Rochester, New York. And today we're talking about the man, the voice, the man behind the mic. He is Rocky Parada. So, Rocky, 93, you get a sniff of covering the Amherst. PA announcer gets sick. How do you go on from there? What happens in 94? What happens with you then?
Well, you get that bug that this is where you want to be. Now, when I was in high school, I didn't play sports. I was a bowler, okay? I was 5'2", 5'3", probably weighed about 18 pounds less than I do now. So I was a little round Italian kid, you know? So this gave me an opportunity to play the sport, honestly. And with hockey, we'll discuss hockey just a little bit. Because the public address announcer is behind the glass, between the penalty boxes, you're part of the game, and you really feel as though you're part of the play. And this gave me the opportunity to play, and that's what I wanted to do. And with the Amherst at that time, up until they won the Cup in '96, Tom was the PA guy. I did the music, I did some stuff during the intermissions, as we talked about. When Tom retired, obviously, I campaigned for that gig, but they brought in another guy. Mike Paz did it for quite some time, my good friend Mike Paz, because they wanted me to stay on music.
Right.
Again, you know, the big breaks doing public address announcements didn't come until Phil Mercado came in to do the music. But the opportunities to do mic work really weren't there. As I said, when the Rhinos first came on, you know, I wasn't the first PA guy. I was the music guy up until 2002.
And sometimes you're really good at something. People don't want to move you around because,
right,
hey, you know, this
right.
is a guy. And let's face it, part of what made the Rhinos what they were at Frontier Field was the music. I mean, Chris Economides and a friend of his were indoor junkies, and they loved the music at a soccer game. So they, you know, made sure that music was played throughout the game. And one guy that knew music and how to get a crowd going at that point in time was Rocky Parada.
Right. If you want a gig that's outstanding, but it sounds like 1995, I'll give that to you right now. You know, but you know, the PA work came later on. And just a quick side on the music with the Rhinos. When we opened the franchise over at U of R at Favre Stadium, the first game, and I had, honest to God, Sam, when the original Lancers played, I may have seen one or two games. I lived about a half a mile from Silver Stadium, and my dad and I would walk to the game. So I grew up on baseball. So I really didn't know soccer. I was kind of thrust into it. So I took it like doing music for indoor lacrosse, where I was playing the music over the play and whatnot. And you would know better than me, but I think the league president, his name was Rich Groff, I think.
Richard Groff, yep. He's nominated right now to be in the Soccer Hall of Fame this year as a founder.
So it's the second half of that very first game. And during halftime, somebody came to me and brought me a CD that you had made. And they said, hey, Soccer Sam wants you to play this music during the game. I'm like, who the is Soccer Sam? You know? Blah, blah, blah. Now, Sam, where would I be without you? But he comes up to me during the second half and says, hey, I heard you do music for the American Hockey League and the indoor lacrosse league. I'm like, yeah, I do. He goes, do they play music? He says, I heard you play music for the American Hockey League. Do they play music over play? And I said, no, they don't. And he goes, well, pretend this is the beeping American Hockey League. And I'm like, all right. So I let it settle.
So Richard Groff, because he had a bad temper, so he flipped out on you.
Yeah, yeah, he did. Okay. So I let it settle for a few minutes, and I went back to doing my thing. And this is honest to God, when the All-Star game came up that year, and I don't know where it was, this was 1995, he called me for ideas on game production. So I kind of broke his thinking on how game production should be done.
Right.
I don't want to take any credit for it, but you know, one minute he's hollering at me because I'm playing music over play, and then he's calling me for ideas. So that I thought.
So when
that
he
was,
told you to stop, you did the right thing. You just totally ignored him.
Yeah, I did for a few minutes, and then I went back to playing Soccer Sam's CD, Rich.
And then everybody's dancing.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it morphed. Mm-hmm. And it morphed from there. And as I said, you know, and it came into doing the PA 2002 with the Rhinos, and then, you know, as we've come into where we are now, and you know, the next step, you know, who knows? You know, at my advanced age, is there a next step? You know, everybody wants to try different things, but you know, I love what I do, and I've been blessed to do what I do for so many teams. And when we went to break, I mentioned that it's very important to have support. Now, it's just my wife and I. We're not blessed with children. And she is extremely, Mrs. Rocky is extremely understanding with giving me the opportunity to fulfill this dream. I've done banking for 30 years. I have. And I've pretended to be a banker for 30 years. You know, I took a gig with the bank in 1987 to bide my time till I got my break in radio. And I always tell people, here I sit, you know. But this has given me that opportunity to live my dream and to live my dream at the highest level. Announcing the U.S. national team when they were at Frontier Field when Freddie Adu came in.
Oh man, I remember that.
You know,
I got video of that. Freddie Adu scored a goal.
From that to announcing Mia Hamm when she was in.
You were there?
I was there.
You were the guy. Corner kick, Mia Hamm?
The whole thing. When you know, Abby Wambach was breaking in with the U.S. women's national team. So many games on NBC when they would play, whether it was at Frontier Field or they played the game over, game or two over at Capelli Sports Stadium, as it's called now. Those are some of the biggest events. My first Buffalo Sabres game, playing the Montreal Canadiens. Game went to a shootout. Brian Gionta scores in the shootout for Montreal. He was the captain of that team. Thomas Vanek wins the game for the Sabres in the shootout. And some would find this kind of funny, but in my top, probably my top three or four announcing events was just this past summer. J.P. Morgan Chase does a... Okay, there it is. That's who I work for. J.P. Morgan does the J.P. Morgan Corporate Challenge. It's a worldwide event. 250,000 runners throughout the world, 13 different cities. Well, Rochester has hosted this for 27 or 28 years. And this year, I was asked to be one of the MCs for this corporate event here in Rochester. And it's the largest foot race in the world. So... that's one of my crowning jewels, was being one of the guys who was on the stage. And we had a gentleman who sent the runners off, and I brought him in. And I was on the stage for all almost 8,000 runners to come across the line. And that was just to kind of bring my whole life together, because both sides of my life were represented there.
Right. It was like, you're kind of like one of those like weekend wrestlers. I mean, you're like,
exactly.
You're kind of like your weekend little hobby, and now all of a sudden you're at the bank, but you're also doing something that you love to do in front of the, you know, behind the mic.
Exactly.
The man behind the mic.
It's a perfect way to put it, like the weekend wrestler, like Dr. Love was back in the day, and our good friend Ken Kaiser just passed away this week, you know, did that on the side. This is my weekend wrestling gig, and I've done weekend wrestling. Rob Sanderson brought me into that. So, you know, when you check off bucket list stuff, Rich Jones and roller derby, you know, there's different things to it. You always say you want to do once. And
so you're doing that Sabres game against the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
So you're there behind the mic. Does it something flash in your head like, man, how did this happen? I was just, you know, in 93, I was like on the ice just doing a little 5-minute little gig, you know, at one of the breaks, and now you're like NHL, baby. This is big time.
You know where it goes back to, honestly, Sam? There was a Red Wings game my dad and I were at, and he knew Fred Costello, and he, you know... In the old days, no cell phones or nothing like that. You know, we're walking by, you see Fred in his little booth playing the organ. My dad waves, and he kind of points to me, and he points upstairs. So Fred comes to his spiral staircase and brings us upstairs. Then we get an opportunity to look around. I might have been 13 or 14 years old. And brings me into the press box, and Pete Weber, who did play-by-play for the Red Wings then, he's done it for the Buffalo Bison.
This is at the old stadium.
At the old stadium.
What's it called?
Silver Stadium.
Silver Stadium, yep.
Pete Weber's now the radio voice for the Nashville Predators. But I had an opportunity to meet Pete Weber.
13 years old you were.
Yeah, 13 or 14. It was a long, long time ago. So Pete, you know, my dad introduces me to him, and we're chit-chatting. So he goes, "Oh, you want to get into radio, huh?" And he looks at my dad and goes, "Who's this psychologist?" And I was hooked. Boom, right there. So that was my first brush with that. And
so you think something at that moment, you saw the mic, you saw the booth,
yes,
you saw the notes, the food in the corner.
I saw the food in the corner for sure.
Something clicked in your head and said, this is what I want to do someday.
Yeah, because I was a kid who would put his transistor radio under the pillow, and I would listen to baseball games and hockey games from all over the country. I would listen to games coming out of Montreal in French and pick up different words.
Yeah, French fry. Oh, ho,
ho. Very good. And I was just a sports junkie. And I heard so many different styles of play-by-play that's what I said I wanted to do. But and it's kind of gone this way. And that's one of the things I thought of the first time I sat down behind that microphone for the Buffalo Sabres was, you know, here I am. You know, it's taken a long
13
time.
13 years old, boom, now you're with the Sabres.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, the times, the announcing they've done for the Rhinos and for you with the Lancers and all the way, you know, down the line, all the time put in, whether doing PA announcing or on-ice stuff or television for the Amerks and games announced across all sports out at RIT. You know, you think about those things when you're sitting there behind that microphone for the first time, and it was awe-inspiring. It really was. And I think of my mom and dad looking down and saying, you finally made it. You know, you're straight in your tie, you know.
That is just amazing. And, you know, the show before this, Rocky, I had my nephew Dante in the studio, my grandson Santino. And, I just wonder what's going through their heads. Like, is this, you know, they're just coming in to kind of hang out with me a little bit. But being part of a studio and seeing the mics, you're thinking, like, you know, are they...
you know, aspiring to be that next guy like you were aspiring back at 13 years old at Silver Stadium.
Yeah, and it's good to plant that seed, and it's good to foster it. It can be done, whether it's done where you're hopping city to city to do the gigs as time rolls on, as you move into different events, or to be, and I've used this word before, and I feel it's very fitting, to be blessed to be able to do this and quote-unquote play so many sports and meet so many people that you call friends for life in doing it. I haven't ridden the buses. The hardest thing for me with travel is remembering which stadium I have to go to. You know, that's the thing. You know, in the wintertime, okay, am I going to do a game at the Blue Cross Arena or am I going to the Policini Center? You know, think, okay, this is where I'm going. But I haven't ridden the buses, but I've met friends, like I said, like you and Jordan Stefan and Joe Rizzo and you know, right on down the line, you know, Phil Mercado, the boys from the Red Wings, that I'll cherish my whole life. And ball players and hockey players and soccer players talk about that, the camaraderie that they in the locker room or on the bus or you guys were talking about it on your early show about Elliot Foskey staying up all night waiting for his roommate to get in because he wanted to make sure his roommate got there okay and in one piece and was fed.
Right.
You know,
that connection.
Yeah. You know, and that's the beautiful part of what I do is I kind of have that. You know, I wouldn't have met a guy like Rich if it wasn't for my love of sports and announcing. Rich and I go back, God, it's got to be back into the early 90s, I think, or mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Back in radio over at that other group, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, so you know...
You make these lifelong friends doing a hobby. In your case, it's kind of like a hobby. And you're, you know, there's a lot of guys, you mentioned some names, like you and Phil Mercado and Rich and Joe Giuliano.
Joe, yeah, I can't forget Joe. He helped me during soccer with the Rhinos.
You guys are all a group of guys that don't want to leave Rochester.
Correct.
Because the chances and the opportunities are out there, but it's that 1 year, 2 year gig, and then you're on to something else. Kind of like a lot of these players are and coaches.
Yeah.
Where you guys decide, you know, we're going to stay in our city and figure out a way to do something we love in our city. And you know, you're blessed with having that gift to do what you do, Rock.
I am. I am blessed, and I thank the good Lord every time I walk into an arena. When I leave, you know, the guys I work for, they always say thank you, and I say no, thank you, because and sometimes I get a look. What do you mean, thank me? I'm like, no, thank you, because you've given me this opportunity. I'm just some dude, you know, with a couple of years at a community college. I can throw a ball around, kick a ball around pretty good.
But you got the voice.
I've never played sports, and as I said, you know, in the beginning of this was my opportunity to play sports and to be part of the team, you know, recognized by the coaches. And I tell you, the fan bases that embrace you, and you feel this, obviously, when you step out on the field with the Lancers and you're doing the team intros. People throwing eggs, right. Now, don't believe a word he says about that, folks. Yeah, this guy is...
Tomatoes, okay.
Yeah, then he picks them up and he takes them back to make sauce. This guy is loved by the fans, and it took a while with the Amherst fans at the beginning to kind of win them over, but to feel the fans, that's
feel love.
You know, right, you know, and I like to say, you know, I'm a humble guy, and it's fun. It's just so much fun.
You know, before we're going to tee up our break, what's the song that you guys use for the corner kicks at the Rhino games?
Seven Nation Army, White Stripes, Seven Nation Army.
Seven Nation Army. Richie's going to look that up because I want to do something, you know, I want to, once we get that going, I want you to do a Rhinos corner kick because Mark Sottile talked about that. You'd be surprised, like, when people are at a game and they don't hear, you know, something corner kick,
yeah,
it's like something's missing. And you know, you were part of the show. Your voice is part of the show, part of the event. And, you know, the Rhino games and the Lancer games, I mean, it was just, you know, your Mauricio Salas intro and your, you know, Mauricio, you would hold that for as long as you could.
I always said, I always said to Sam before each season started, do not cut Mauricio, because he is the best goal call I could ever do. And my partner in crime down there in the box, Michelle Ronco, who is our penalty timekeeper, she would be like a conductor trying to get me to end it, you know, waving the end, and I would go until I had no breath left. She's punching me in the arm, enough, and it's like, no, there's never enough of that goal call.
I love that goal call. Maybe we'll come back with that after. Right. Let's go to break right now. You got the corner kick music, Richie? Oh, man. See, now, the idea of music at a soccer game, for you people that don't like music, if you're in the bathroom, you got little Joey, don't wash your hands. It's a corner kick. I hear the music. That's what it's about, hearing that. So, Rocky, we're going to go to break right now here on Word on the Street. Give me a Rhinos corner kick call.
Rhinos corner kick.
Love it. We're going to be back with Rocky Parada. We're going to find out more about his dad. I want to know a little bit about your dad. Your dad was a big part of your life with sports. Mr. Joe. We're going to talk about Mr. Joe when we come back. All right,
absolutely.
Is that cool?
That's all right. Very cool.
Thanks. Back with Rocky Parada, The Rock.
And now, the iHeartRadio Weekend Sports Time Capsule.
Oh, hey, it's your pal Bald Freak Ronnie. Do you like sports and time travel? Well, this is the segment for you. Let's take a trip back together in time to this week in sports history. Starting with this week in 1953 when the wiffle ball was invented. In 1969, the Boston Celtics were sold for $6 million. At the time, the highest price paid for a pro basketball team. In 1973, Jack Nicklaus wins his 14th major golf title, breaking the record previously held by Bobby Jones for 50 years. This week in 1984, the Cincinnati Reds honor Hall of Fame catcher Johnny Bench by retiring his uniform number 5. And in 1994, pro baseball players go on strike. It would turn out to be their longest work stoppage in history at 234 days, causing the cancellation of the World Series for the first time ever. Say it ain't so!
That's your iHeartRadio Weekend Sports Time Capsule.
I'm Jason Flom, founding board member of the Innocence Project, and my new podcast is Wrongful Conviction. Available on iHeartRadio. On Wrongful Conviction, I interview a different exoneree every week and help them to tell their incredible stories of tragedy and triumph against impossible odds. You've got to hear it to believe it. Wrongful Conviction from iHeart Studios. Available now on iHeartRadio.
We're back. It's the Word on the Street. Rocky Parada's in the studio. That is Cotton Eye Joe. And it was the theme song for Mr. Joe, Joe Parada, who was the official, unofficial stadium program seller in Rochester, right?
That he was. Started up, back when he retired in the 80s, started selling programs for the Rochester Red Wings. When I started hanging around at the Blue Cross Arena working, kind of brought him in over there, and he eventually started selling programs and kind of became, when that song, when Rednecks Cotton Eye Joe came out, we would play that during the game, because in the early 90s that was a hot club song, believe it or not, and it was a hot stadium anthem, and kind of morphed. In the 80s and early 90s, we had Pinsey, who would jump up on the railing, and he would do the Pee Wee Herman dance to the Tequila song. When Pinsey went away, it's almost like it rolled right into it. My father, again, selling programs, would sell programs until the end of the first period. Then he'd go grab a seat and sit down and watch the game. And we would put that song on, and some of the girls that were in the fun team, somebody had the idea, and I don't know, it might have been Jill Rizzo. I don't remember for sure, but and Jill... Jill's always had a fondness for my dad, and you know, we work games together. We always end up talking about my dad, but the girls would get my dad up, and they would do the Cotton Eye Joe dance with him, and it would just kind of morph. He was a carpenter by trade. He was a picture framer for 28 years. Did that when he was a kid, and right up until the company was right over here on Chestnut and North, Jocelyn Brothers, until they closed up in 1970. You know, that was his thing, and then he opened up a shop in his garage. So one night, you know, we came home from the hockey game, and he's like, you know, this is a lot of fun. He goes, I've got to do something with this. And then that's how he was. And he would go out to the garage, and he made himself a fiddle out of, you know, plywood and picture frame molding and, you know, these gold beads and stuff. And that was his thing. And I still have those pictures on my phone that I transferred from the, you know, from film to keep on my phone to keep it close. But it was a thing, and there were it was the 1999 AHL All-Star Game that he did that, and it was the first time he really went nation worldwide, because that was I think it was an ESPN2 game, and he made the broadcast, and he was so proud to and I was proud that he did make the broadcast, because that was a lot of fun for, you know, Joe the Carpenter, you know.
Cotton Eye Joe, the father, the man that brought you into that press box when you were 13 years old, and something clicked in your head that this is what I want to do. And he, the guy that waved to Fred Costello, and he kind of like helped his son, who he saw his son had a passion for something and a dream for something, and he did everything he could to kind of open those doors.
I found out that after my father had passed away, my brother told me this, that my father was very disappointed in me that I took the job at the bank, because I didn't chase the dream of radio. It wasn't so much the sports at that time, and again, that kind of morphed as the years went on, but my brother told me that he was disappointed that I took the job at the bank. You know, 30 years later, it's kind of done me okay. It really has, and I know that as the years went on and we worked together, which was fun. I mean, that was great. That was one of the greatest things about it is towards the end, I would go home. I would meet him at the games, but, you know, towards the end, I would go home, pick him up, bring him to the games. He would do his thing, and we'd drive back, you know, back to Melling Drive together. But I know that he's happy with how it's all kind of materialized.
Amazing bonding story for a son and a father to get to do something you love to do. And it's kind of like this, you know, the weekends, Dad, you sell your programs, jump in the fiddle with the Cotton Eye Joe, and I'm doing my PA, and then let's go home together. And it's kind of beautiful that you were able to do that for that many years, Rock, something special.
Yeah, it is. You know, we tell the stories about the, you know, the goofy things that went on, you know, during games, after games. And Kevin Spears, who is the top PA guy over for the Red Wings, and I kind of support him over there. He loves the story that we would, on Friday nights, I didn't get this fantastic physique, you know, without any work. On Friday nights, after an Amherst game, we'd pick up a pizza on the way home. You know, we'd go to your Clinton Avenue place there when you had it in the old place before going to Garage Door, but, you know, we would stop there or whatever, but we would order a pepperoni pizza on a Friday during Lent, and we would sit there until midnight so we could eat the pepperoni pizza, you know?
It's 12-1, go for it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of those stories that we always laughed about it around sports, because it was coming home from working a hockey game or whatever.
Well, I saw your connection and your closeness with Jill Rizzo and Phil Mercado, like the three of you in the booth together, like, unbelievable. It's like, you know, like the chemistry of an orchestra.
Yes, yeah, we're like a race car driver's team. You know, the jackman knows where the tire guy and the gas guy are going at all times, and the three of us, we work really well together.
So I didn't have the privilege of working with you with Jordan, so tell me about Jordan and the whole RIT experience and what's going on that end of your career.
I started out at RIT doing fill-ins back in probably in the early 90s. Matter of fact, Phil Mercado referred me out there. There was a gentleman who did midday sports talk here, Brad Davies, I think it was, who was doing PA out there. The fill-in guy couldn't get there, so they brought me in to do a game. So I would do a couple of games a year doing Division III hockey at the time. And they brought me in one night. I was scheduled to do an Amherst game, and they said, no, we really need you at senior night, blah, blah, blah. We need you out here. So I got somebody, I think it might have even been Phil, that did the Amherst game for me. I went out there. We did our thing. the athletic director, Mr. Lou Spiotti, comes up to me, another Aquinas guy like me, comes up to me afterwards and says, this was our audition for Division One, and the powers that be loved it, and I want to hire you right now to be our Division One public address announcer. And at the time, I wasn't doing public address for the Amherst, and I couldn't turn him down. And that's kind of morphed. They brought the women's team to Division One, so doing Division One men's and women's hockey. Now I'm doing as much PA as I can fit in, and I'm also doing some play-by-play on the webcasts out there. Jordan, who was with the Rochester Rhinos for many years, ended up when they opened up the Gene Policini Center. And Sam, I know you've seen the Policini Center. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's a beautiful,
gorgeous,
beautiful facility. 4,300 withstanding. It's a great place to watch a sporting event. Come on out and see me out there. Not going to fishbowl, as I tell everybody. But Jordan locked up the assistant marketing director job out at RIT. And for the Policini Center, the Gordon Fieldhouse, and the Ritter Arena. And I've had the opportunity. She and I work great together again. She knows that I like to work off the seat of my pants. And whether she means to do it or not, I work a lot off my seat of my pants. you get the PA read that needs to be added at the next TV timeout. Text to me on my phone, you know, and my battery's dying, you know, that kind of stuff. I love doing that. But you know, we're able to sometimes be able to see each other's moves and kind of collaborate together, too. So that, and knowing her from my days, in her days with the Rhinos and going over there, there wasn't a transition going into a new building with a new mindset. We knew each other. We knew what was going on. I had been with the program a long time, and I helped her get into the program, too. And the whole RIT thing has just been amazing. It's just been amazing. And it's all kind of come, you know, through everything else.
Right.
And we haven't touched on, really barely, the Lancer part of it. Getting to where I worked with you when you were with the Rhinos, and even before you were formerly with the Rhinos, when you would do the stuff on the field, kind of like I did with the Amherst, but the opportunity I had to work for you and collaborate with you is cherished, because if people in this community don't know the asset and the gift you are to this community, they need to figure that out. You need to be on, and I know you've been on with Bob Matthews and Bob Lonsberry. It's like Channel 10 when they do those puff features at 7:30 after their 7 o'clock news. They need to do one on Soccer Sam, because this guy is a tremendous asset to this community, and Sam is that ground up to where he is now guy, and still growing. And the time that I had with the indoor Lancers, and I wish I could have been with you for the outdoor Lancers this year. I would have had the opportunity to call my cousin's name, Alexa Antetomaso,
right?
You know, the star out of Georgia University who played for your women's team. I would have loved that opportunity, and I would have loved the opportunity to be with you again this past summer.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Rock. But, you know, when I think of the indoor Lancers at the Blue Cross Arena, the end of the night, I mean, pregame, I was too busy. You were too busy getting ready. During the game, I was too busy. But at the end of the night, I remember, like, down that hallway every night would be a hug and a goodbye and a thank you. You made it part of the show, and that's what made the Lancers. It was all those little things, the right people doing what they did best. And we had the best of the best working with us, and obviously you're one of those guys. So thank you for what you brought to the Lancers. But I want to know about these other teams you do. So
yes,
it's RIT right now. The Flash are gone, but you did do the Flash.
I did the Flash, did public address and music for the Flash for their entire tenure here in Rochester.
The Rhinos?
The Rhinos, I am the only employee who's been tenured front since day one.
Wow, so you're still there doing the PA?
Still there doing PA. Phil Mercado came back in again this year, so he and I are working again together, so I'm concentrating on doing PA.
And they're home Saturday, August 19th,
yep.
6 o'clock is the next home game for the Rhinos, so
yep.
you could hear the Rock and do his
there.
Magic.
Hopefully we'll get a bunch of corner kicks and make these two guys laugh again over here. Rochester Rattlers.
They're away tonight in Colorado, but you do the Rattlers too.
I do the Rattlers. They'll be on, catch them on Twitter, 4:30 p.m. It's the semifinal of the MLL tonight, going for going towards the finals next week. Pleasure of working with Jill and Phil on that endeavor.
Yeah, Red Wings, you ever do anything with Red Wings?
Red Wings, I do Phil and PA. I do between 20 and 25 games a year.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a big year. We've got a lot this year. I don't do day games because I have a real job.
You have a real job. Yeah. Yeah.
But Kevin Spears and I pretty much split up the evening games. I'll be over there tonight. Superstars, 7:05, first pitch.
Oh, yeah. The Red Wings are home tonight. Yeah,
Red
cool.
Wings are home tonight.
So now, and then the Razor Sharks you did do for years, plenty,
yep.
Many years, you and Phil and Jill, that whole team.
Yep, the three of us did Razor Sharks up until this past season.
What about the Hawks, Nighthawks?
Nighthawks, Nighthawks, I do as many games as I can. Kevin Spears backs me up, kind of the flip of the Red Wings.
Because of the RIT.
Correct, and John Catalano, the senior marketing guy for the Nighthawks, is very supportive of that arrangement. He's happy to have Kevin and I together, and it works out great. Works out great.
So
20 odd years with the Amherst.
I think I touched every team. You're with every team in town, basically, and RIT, which is huge.
Yes. Yes. I can't thank everybody. And just one quick note on RIT. The men open up their regular season the October 14th at the Blue Cross Arena. For their annual homecoming game, taking on Northeastern University. Two great programs playing in that one, and the women open up their season on the 13th at home, their home season on the 13th.
So when we come back, I want to know the one greatest game you ever were part of. Like, just, it's a memory, like you close your eyes, you just remember it. Is it a championship? Is it something tragic or something special to happen on the field? I want to know that one game, not multiple. You got time through this break to let me know what that one game is, Rock.
All right, that one game, gotcha.
Rocky Parada will be back here. It's Word on the Street, and we're going to give you a little quick update on the Indoor Lancers when we come back here on The Word.
Turn the power up. I'm waiting for so long so I can hear my favorite song, so let's go.
Hurt in a car? Call William Attar. Our focus puts us at the cutting edge of motor vehicle claims. We have years of experience collecting black box data from accidents because we know this critical evidence can help win a case. At William Attar, our focus allows us to be ahead of the curve. The firm with the focus, the firm with the fours. Hurt in a car? Call William Attar. 444-4444. Main Street, Williamsville, West Main Street, Rochester.
Jack Palvino here. Long Pond Auto Body in Greece has experienced certified technicians and offers a lifetime warranty on all their work. For auto body repairs you can trust, visit longpondautobody.com.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
He is the Rock. He is Rocky Parada, the voice of Rochester Sports, the man behind the mic. What a story, Rock, man. I didn't put it all together before I decided the show was more about, like, I knew you did a couple deal lines. You basically have done every professional sports team in town at one point or another.
It's been a wild ride. It really has, and it's a ride that I hope goes on for a long time. I've had people tell me, boy, you've got your retirement job already, you know, and retirement's a long way away for me. So I hope this ride rolls on as we get down the road. You had mentioned memorable moments.
The one most memorable moment in your career behind the mic, if you had to pick one, and if you can't pick one, you need to give me three. I'm cool with that, but I want to know, like, you know, I'm curious if I was there and how many people are listening right now were there at that moment or the three. Tell me.
Well, there's been so many great moments behind the microphone. You know, some of these moments are stories I tell that, you know, it's more or less being in the spot I was in. It wasn't so much being on the microphone. I think one of them, and I really do have to give you three. One of them was Dan Ringwald scoring an overtime goal out at Ritter Arena against St. Lawrence University in a game that RIT should not have been in. They roared back, tied it, won it in overtime, and 2,100 people sounded like 21,000. It was incredible. I would say calling Abby Wambach's name, being a hometown guy, and Abby being a hometown player coming in with the national team.
Probably the biggest star maybe in the history of the women's national team or of the sport of soccer.
Yes, and calling her name, scoring a goal in her hometown, goosebumps. Absolutely goosebumps.
Is that for the national team or for
the national team.
Wow. So you also did the national team broadcast when the U.S. national team came to...
I did.
I didn't know that.
I did the women's national team at least twice, the men's national team one time.
Wow.
Yeah, those, you know, when I list my top five events that I've done, those three are in my top five. You know, it has to be. Probably one of the games that I called that I lose sleep over, that is a memorable game that didn't come out the way we wanted it to, was a game in the U.S. Open Cup, 2006 or 2007. My memory doesn't put the dates on it like it used. There's so many games in there, Sam.
Sure.
I don't remember exactly.
It's a lot
when,
of work.
But, our friend Scott Vallow will remember this game.
Where
he came out and made a couple of saves right off in the shootout, in the penalty kick shootout, and the team didn't win it. And that was, honest to God, that was a soccer game that I lost sleep over.
So Scott made some amazing saves, but the forwards couldn't score.
Exactly.
Or the players couldn't score.
Exactly. But there's just been so many positive memories and you know, inspired goal calls. You know, I can go back to the first Sabre game I did, you know, and announcing Thomas Vanek's name and him scoring the goal in the shootout to win it. Team was going nowhere. Didn't matter. The 19,000 people that were there had fun.
The man behind the mic. You got to write a book, man. All these put them in, because you're going to forget if you don't write it. I mean, you got to start putting it together. You know, I mean, seriously, it's easy today. You got the computer. Start writing a book, Rock. Because I'm telling you, young kids like this that are aspiring to get into radio or get into broadcast, and a lot of kids, you know, there's not a lot of radio gigs, but there's broadcast gigs and there's music gigs at a stadium. And sometimes you love the sport of soccer or baseball or whatever, but you don't have the ability to play it, but you can still be part of it.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what this story is about.
And that's the nail right on the head, Sam. That's exactly what the story is. I didn't play when I was a kid. Nobody was going to let me play. And this was my way of doing it. And, you know, if anybody can take anything from it, it's just kind of, you know, do your homework, work hard, stick to it. Have fun. You know, have fun and marry somebody who's extremely understanding. That's the key. You know, and work hard. Our friend Rob Sanderson is an example of working hard, you know. Yeah. How many years was he on the wrestling show?
He was a caller with Rich Kicker. Rich got a different name. What is it on the pain clinic?
The Cash Man.
He's the Cash Man. So Rich had a caller, right? He was just a kid calling the show every week, and then Richie says, "Hey, come in the studio, work with me." Now he's doing
USHL junior hockey.
Wow,
play by play, amazing, good stuff.
Richie gave him a start. That's cool. So Rock, I mean. If the Indoor Lancers come back, and this, let me just tell everyone that's listened to the second hour what's going on. We'll let you know next week what's happening. We don't know.
Two words for you. Please do.
We can't get a hold of Doug Miller to find out exactly what's going on with the Indoor Lancers. We know the league has welcomed the team back. I know Doug met with the Blue Cross Arena this week with Jeff Calkins. Dates are an issue, but we'll find out. Rock, on behalf of Rochester, New York, thank you for making our sports dollar mean more by what you do.
Thank you, Sam. As I said, it's an honor and a privilege to do what I do. It's an honor and a blessing to be associated with somebody like you. And I thank you for everything you've done for me over the years. I thank you for this hour. This was fun. It's fun to get on the radio waves again. It doesn't happen very often for me anymore, and this was wonderful. Thank you.
Rocky Parada, the voice of Rochester Sports. See you next week.